Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us. And it's good to be back. Good to be back. There's a broken record aspect here because we've got so much to talk about. I'm like rubbing my earlobes and saying soothing things to myself so I don't talk a mile a minute here. So, Darren, you got to be like the governor on our speed today.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Well, that your best is going to do it's going to do the trick. There's nobody better in the game. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us for the most scintillating hour of finance radio. funny, did I tell you this, Darren? So a good friend and client of mine happens to be a lawyer, and he was telling me, he's like, you know, you need to get that copyrighted, the most scintillating hour in finance radio. And I started laughing. He's like, no, seriously. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is a joke. But anyway, I just thought that was really funny that he thought that we should...
trademarked?
Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, you should trademark it. And I went, well, I know, but I'm saying it tongue in cheek.
Put it on t-shirts?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about being a finance nerd, wearing your most scintillating hour of finance radio. Because we said it is a joke, you know, and it is. I mean, I'm sure it makes people laugh. It makes me laugh. But I think it is. I'm always excited to do the show, just talk to people, especially when we get to interview people. But anyway, so much to talk about. Obviously, we're recording, as always, we're recording the show on a Friday. So, don't know how markets end. They're not looking good today, but this back and forth yo-yo action continues. And there's so much. I got to stick to the play sheet. Back in college, we'd script out plays, you know, not on defense. I play defense, but the offenses would script out plays and you'd stick to the script. So I'm attempting to do that today. I'm just, like I said, got to keep the brain quiet because there's so many different angles and so many different things to talk about. So I'm glad you joined us, and hopefully you get a lot out of it. I also hope this is the first day back. Spent last week with the family in Malibu, Canada. Well, Malibu's the name of the camp. It's actually, the camp is just north of the Sunshine Coast, which is, I believe, about, oh man, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 miles north of Vancouver. And it's a young life camp. And if you haven't gone there or your children haven't gone there, even if you're not religious, even if you're not practicing, everybody has an amazing time there. It's one of the most amazing places on the planet. Darren, have you ever been to Malibu? You never did a Young Life thing? It's unbelievable. You're at this inlet. It's called Princess Louisa Inlet or something like that. Princess Louisa Sound. Anyway, got to work on my Canadian geography. Apologies to my friends, my Canadian friends, especially Kevin Muir. I should dust up on my Canadian geography. But anyway, you're at the mouth of this inlet. And, you know, it's the same waterway as the Puget Sound, right? But the water is like crystal clear. And the sandy parts of it, it looks blue, almost like tropical water. And you're watching the seals and the sea otters in there. And then the salmon were running up the inlet and the seals were coming up with so much salmon. But by the end of the day, you could tell that they were stuffed because they'd catch a salmon and they'd be throwing it around, playing with it, you know, because they were so full. It's an unbelievable place. So this isn't about finance, but if you get the opportunity, your kids get the opportunity to go to that Young Life camp up there in Canada, just do it. Do it. You trust me, you won't regret it. Anyway, so let's get on to what's going on. The craziness continues, so we're going to walk it down. What has got markets upset today? It's Chinese talks. China came out and said that they're going to stick with or increase tariffs, another $75 billion worth of tariffs. Trade war continues to ramp up. Trump is getting increasingly blamed for it. I don't want to blow my top here because we're going to have a part of the show today, a piece, a segment of the show specifically on China and the trade issue. We've talked about it a lot, but I do think that there's some new information there and kind of want to bring things up, kind of bring you up to speed on what's going on there. And then also, hopefully, we can shed some light on really what's going on because I'm sure this will come as a surprise to all of you. But you're not getting the real story in the media. So anyway, we'll talk about that. But this is essentially what the issue is. And I think it's important to say that, look, there's a lot of really troubling things going on in the global economy. And now there's really troubling things starting to bleed into our economy. Once again, like we've been saying for the last year, you know, red lights aren't flashing, but yellow ones certainly are. And I continue to be amazed at the lack of concern and the lack of urgency that I see on the part of most investors. And again, we're going to talk about that. We got a segment of the show coming up that I'm calling Get Out of the Foxhole. Okay, and I'll explain what I mean by that. But that's kind of basically addressing, you know, the lack of or the wrong positioning that I see so many investors having, the lack of concern, the lack of worry, overexposure to stocks, overexposure to the wrong stocks. It's just rampant right now. And that's something we want to spend some time talking about. The other thing is, now, again, this has been happening for a while now. So, you know, it's not Chicken Little here. We're not, sky's not falling. But the yield curve inversion, I've got personal experience with this, and maybe this is the first time you've heard all this talk about yield curve inversion. If you're like me and it is the first time, well, it's not for me, but when it was the first time, I remember scratching my head going, what is yield? What are they talking about? And then when I understood the concept, again, it's Wall Street likes to hang these fancy names on things, right? To make us all sound smart. Basically, what it means is that longer dated U.S. treasuries are paying less interest paying less interest than short dated. And think about this, right? Think about a CD. If you go into the bank and you look at CDs and you look at a 1 year CD and a 10 year CD, I would hope that you would expect to get paid more interest if you purchase the 10 year CD. That's kind of the normal way of things, right? It works inversely in home loans. Well, not for the lender, but for us borrowers, right? The longer, if we want to go with a 10 year mortgage, we're going to pay a lower interest rate, right? So if you want to understand yield curve inversion, think about if you went into get your home refinanced at a mortgage company and they said to you, well, hey, you can go with that 30-year. Or you go, no, I think I want a 10-year. And they're like, oh, we can get you that 10-year mortgage, but you're going to pay a higher interest rate. You scratch your head, what? I got to pay more interest for a 10-year on a 30? So that's what's happening in the bond market with U.S. government bonds. And that is typically, it's actually one of the most reliable recession reads. Now, one of the caveats that I want to throw in there is I think it is a huge mistake to ignore the yield curve inversion sign. It is one of the most reliable recession indicators. And again, when you stack it up with everything else that's going on in the economy, it doesn't look good, right? Not apocalyptic, not saying that. But it doesn't look good. It's yet another sign of this cycle coming to an end. Am I positive that's the case? No. And if anybody tells you they are positive, nobody's positive. This game is investing. Raul talked about it on our last interview we did, the last show we did, actually. And he was saying that, I thought he said something really prescient that we kind of dusted over because, you know, time constraints. But he talked about this being a game of probabilities. Okay, investing is never a game of certainties. So I want to be sure that, you know, I am not a charlatan. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I got a crystal ball where things are going. But our job as fiduciaries of other people's money is to be looking out in the horizon and try to steer clear of the storms. not time them perfectly, but seek out smoother water. That's the job. And right now, it appears to me that the vast majority of investors, and probably the vast majority of you listening to me, are full speed ahead right into the eyes of some very dark clouds. And it's not about being an alarmist. It's about being a realist. It's about opening your eyes and seeing what's really going on. And one of these signs in and of themselves is not doomsday. And they, you know, that's a frustrating thing to me. And I hope we do a good job on this show about breaking things down and giving them to you in a way that it's real. Right. We're not talking our book. We're not trying to scare you into this or that, or because you turn on the TV and all your, oh, it's yield. There's nothing wrong. Yield curve inversion. Oh, they're a bunch of Pollyannas. And then you go on the other side. Oh, the sky's falling, blah, blah. Like with most things, the truth lies somewhere in the middle. OK. All of the classic signs for this being the end of the cycle and a recession on the horizon, they're all there. OK, they're all in place. And yet, does that mean it's a certainty? No. And I'll address it with the yield curve inversion right now. One of the issues and one of the caveats that I have when I'm looking at the yield curve inversion is when you look at what central banks have done to bond markets, when you look at how many treasuries and how many mortgage-backed securities the Fed has on its balance sheet and how many they've bought over the last 10 years. Now, they went through quantitative tightening, which means they were selling off some of those assets, but that didn't last very long. I also think it's interesting for those out there that say that this isn't a Fed-driven financial bubble. I think it's really interesting that since quantitative tightening started and the Fed hiked rates for the first time, within 12 months of that happening, the markets have stalled out. Maybe it's 16 months. But my point is we stalled out. As of today, we are trading on the S&P 500 at a level that is below where the market was in January of 2018. And guys, what is that? That's almost 20 months ago. That's substantial. And yet all I hear are retail investors thinking that this is still a raging bull market. I'm telling you. Now is the time to be defensive, and it's not timing markets. Don't get caught unprepared and off. Just don't do it. Don't be the typical investor. Refuse to be the typical investor, right? Put on a raincoat, right? Take an umbrella with you. Don't be that guy that's sitting there going, we didn't see it coming. Oh my goodness, people. Every sign is there. And like I said, position yourself in such a way that you're okay either way. It doesn't have to be this binary all or nothing thing, because here's the thing. If you think an 08-09 is impossible again, and I'm not saying exact repeat, I'm just saying a big market meltdown and a huge recession. If you don't think it's possible again, you're either historically illiterate or you're just lying to yourself. Oh, it's a one-off anomaly. No, it's not. No, it's not. That was caused by excessive and new and unheard of central bank policy. That's basically what drove the housing bubble. Everybody blames it on real estate. It was caused from running interest rates too low, too long, and sloppy lending practices. But the Fed, the central bank, was at the core of that. They weren't the only ones responsible. I can be a bit of a Fed basher sometimes. To be fair to them, they weren't the only ones responsible. But what's important to realize is that the issues in 08 and 09, they didn't go anywhere. They've just been moved. And the things that got us into trouble, like too easy money and too low interest rates for too long, guys, we've doubled down on it. I mean, everything is there. And I'm not even talking about widespread corporate fraud. Now, I'm not going to make any allegations. And again, don't want to give up what we've got a segment coming up on corporate fraud. And it ties right into one of our ads you've probably heard before on the radio, where we're citing Warren Buffett and we're saying that when the tide goes out, you find out who's been swimming without their trunks on. Right? Well, a lot of times we're thinking of that as investors being poorly positioned. But the other thing is that recessions, decreases in revenue, higher yields on corporate bonds, all these things that typically happen in a recession, they typically unveil fraud. Right? Think Enron, tech bubble. Think, you know, Madoff, 2008, 2009, right? The tide goes out and you find out where the rocks are. You find out where the shipwrecks are. You find out where the bodies are buried. And we're going to get into that because there's some really bad smells coming. Some fraudulent, aromatic, smoke, if you will. And again, not allegations. Don't want to overreact. But just like I said, if we're looking at a market being overrun or an economy at the end of the cycle, every box is checked. It just is. So anyway, now on the flip side, not bragging, okay, but I will say this, I believe it was last year, December of 2018, on a show, we told you that there were some really interesting signs in gold, that we thought it could be on a good run. At that time, I believe gold was about 1270, 1280. Since then, I believe today we're right around 1530, 1535 on gold. Huge breakout. Our positions that we've got in gold mining stocks that we put in last December have done phenomenal. I think on average, they're up about 40, 50%. I think gold has definitely broken out of its doldrum. I don't know if this is the beginning of the big move, but this is something that we've been watching for a very long time. We've been telling you guys, and listen, we are not gold bugs, but the reason that we believe gold is going to be an important investment in your portfolio. And remember, when I say an important investment, I'm saying typically our clients have somewhere between 8 to 10% portfolio exposure to gold. Okay. We're not gold bugs. We're not loading it down. But when you live in a world of total fiat currency where every central bank is racing to the bottom and trying to print over every problem, it's only a matter of time until currencies themselves fall under pressure, right? And that's happening, guys, all over the world. Australian dollar hitting new lows priced in gold. So if you're using Australian dollars to buy gold, gold is at an all-time high in Australian dollar terms. Gold is also at an all-time high in Great British Pound terms. So it's not just the periphery economies that are having currency issues. Argentina, stock market dropped 40% in a day. Darren, did you see that? I think it was like 2 weeks ago. And it's not a huge market. Again, not going to overreact. We're not Chicken Littles, okay? Argentina, there was an election there that went the way that people didn't think it was going to go. More of a, I've just read on the periphery. I've been focused on other things, you know, just there's enough to focus here in the U.S. economy. But so I'm not well versed on the Argentinian situation, but an election went sideways the way that, you know, investors weren't expecting. The Argentinian stock market dropped 40% in a day. Isn't that nuts? Can you imagine? I mean, that's not, I shouldn't say it's not possible. It's not possible here in the States. We've got things like circuit breakers, but I'm just telling you guys, like, there's a lot of issues out there. And the thing that I think is so concerning is that the level of ether, right, that I see in retail investors, it's much greater in 2000 than it was in 2007. 2007, everybody was excited about real estate. People weren't that excited about stocks, right? Yeah. Anyway, interesting times. The other interesting one is oil, watching oil. It kind of just is stagnant. It's not really saying much of anything right now, but I do think it's interesting that for those people out there that just think that this is a growth hiccup and everything's fine and we're just going to continue on motoring on, oil is not showing that. Oil is stuck in some doldrums. And just to give you an idea, oil peaked out at right around $110 a barrel. It got crushed. I think the bottom tick on it was $26 a barrel. But we're at 55, 56. So we are still a long ways away from the all-time highs in oil. And there's supply issues there. We've got more supply coming out of the United States. It's not all a demand issue. But if you see oil that far off its all-time highs, it should tell you that it's not exactly like demand is screaming. Okay. And that's a great economic indicator. So hopefully you're kind of seeing what I'm talking about here. The other one, guy, like I said, yield curve inversion. Think about this. The yield on the 10-year treasury today is 1.5%, 1.55, something like that. 16, 17 months ago, it was at 3.25. it's more than halved. The yield on the 10-year treasury is down like 60% in a 16-month period of time. That's incredible. That is a monster of a move. Again, why have yields gone down? Because it's telling you that there's a flight to safety somewhere. At the same time, we're seeing gold break out of a six-year downturn. Flight to safety. Markets going through turmoil. More selling. Less volume on my updates. Flight to safety. These are signs, guys. Wake up. And if nothing else, I'm not telling you to put money under a mattress. What I'm telling you is the vast majority of you are positioned incorrectly. I was listening to an interview by Jesse Felder, who we had on the show recently as well. And he was interviewing a guy named Louis Gov, who I find very interesting. I don't agree with him on everything, but I just think he thinks about things. I think he's a very intelligent guy, and he has a lot of interesting takes. But he was making the point that which I've been making for quite some time, and I'm making right now, which is that the vast majority of investors out there are horrifically positioned for an economic downturn. They're hedging their ridiculously overpriced tech stocks with even more ridiculously overpriced bonds. And they're going to get hurt. And this isn't me being hyperbolic. This isn't me, you know, like I said, not being a Chicken Little. This is just me saying that you're out there running around with a sense of security that you don't have. And when we say bonds are overpriced, guys, they're just securities like stocks. They can be ridiculously overpriced. Zach, why do you think bonds are overpriced? That's ridiculous. How do you know? I don't know. There's $16 trillion of sovereign debt floating around the world trading in negative territory. Think about that. It's called fixed income. There's no income coming from it. You're paying to own somebody's debt. If that isn't a sign of an overvalued asset, I don't know what is. And naturally, as retail investors, you look at me and go, Zach, well, if all this you're saying is true, why isn't anybody reacting? Well, I don't know. That's why there are big, painful market crashes. Because unfortunately, most people don't respond until they feel pain. Cognitive dissonance. It's a powerful drug. So don't be that guy. Don't be that woman. Don't be that investor. Right now is a beautiful time to review your investment holdings with me, with us, or with somebody, and look at things differently. Have a risk-managed portfolio where you can sit there with the certainty and the peace at night to know, hey, I've got a portfolio designed to not lose more than I can afford to lose. And if you do it correctly through us, if we're wrong, guys, and markets keep going up and the Trump economy keeps rolling along and all of this is just a scare and the Fed comes to the rescue again, which is possible, okay? Your portfolio with us that's risk managed will do better than the one you currently have. You're getting safer, you're saving expenses, you're saving fees, and you're doing it, and you're not giving up upside. Gosh dang it, there's just a better way to do it. And it's spreading. Part of it is using our bond replacement strategy. The other part of it is our risk managed bond allocations. Stock portfolios. The stock portfolios aren't guaranteed against loss, but they have layers of protection in them. Things that prevent, not guaranteed, but it's safer than your average mutual fund or your average ETF just rolling with it. It's got some defense built into it, and they've been highly effective. One of our ETF exchange traded fund portfolios we use made money in 08-09. Now, I'm not projecting it does it again, but what I'm saying is, guys, don't be close-minded. Okay, for the average investor at home, following the advice of Jack Bogle and Warren Buffett is better than trying to hedge things out. It's a better approach, but there's a better approach than that. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying what they're saying to the average investor is right. If the average investor is out there trying to hedge their portfolio and protect against this, it's going to do nothing but cost you money. But for professional investors and for more sophisticated investors out there, there are ways that we can deploy defense in your portfolio and lower your fees and not diminish your upside potential. And that's really what a portfolio should be. That's how we should be constructing portfolios. It should be all about risk management. If a 40% loss would turn your life upside down and ruin your retirement, why do you have a portfolio where a 40% loss is possible? You may say to me, Zach, I don't want to have the risk of any loss. And maybe that's appropriate for you. But in general, I would say that that's not. You're giving up too much upside. Why do I say that? Because, guys, the 10 to 15, even 20% losses, those aren't debilitating. Okay? They're not. I mean, we saw the market last year, the end of last year, it was down 20%. It recovered within, what, 4 months? But you need to understand the power of loss. And what I mean by that, if the market drops 20, interest is a percentage, especially compounding interest, is an interesting thing. Pardon the pun. Interest is an interesting thing. I just said that. Forgive me.
Most scintillating hour.
Yeah. More like most fumbling hour, right? But interest is a powerful thing. It's an interesting thing. Think about this. A 20% loss takes about a 23% gain to get back to even, okay? But the deeper you fall into loss, the bigger gain you need back. 20% loss, 23% gain to get back to even. 50% loss, you need 100% gain to get back to even. And what that really means is, yeah, you need a big gain to get back to even. It's also going to, the other thing that we don't think about is the time involved. The bigger loss, the longer it's going to take to recoup it. When you're saving up for retirement and you're in your 40s, it's not that big of an issue. Actually, it can be a benefit. When you're retired, there's no benefit, guys, because you're already relying on that money. So quit taking the chance. I'm pounding the table. I'm getting aggressive about it. But it's just, I just don't want to see it happen. It doesn't need to happen. The recession will come. I'm not saying it's happening right now. Looks like it. Looks like it's getting close, but I'm not sure. But my whole point is, you don't have to have your financial life hanging on a cliff. There's a better way to do it. And if you're interested in that, if you're interested in how you can benefit from market gains, market goes up, but still be insured against loss and lower your fees in our bond replacement, that's just the bond replacement side, give us a call. If you want to know how we what that defense looks like and how we have ETF portfolios, exchange-traded fund portfolios, the exchange-traded funds everybody likes, that are algorithmically managed, that actually one of them made money during 2008, 2009. Guys, I've been on the radio for a long time. I'm not blowing smoke here. I'm not selling snake oil. It's possible. These things exist. We use them every day. You can build a portfolio where we cut your fees in half, drastically reduce your risk, and increase your upside. It exists. And if that interests you, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for the podcast. Download the podcast. Have the show every week. Get our free booklet, Common Sense. You'll hear about it in the ads in between spots. Just give us a call, guys. If nothing else, just educate yourself. There's a better way to do it. Don't make that call when you're down 30. Okay, don't do it. You may not think we're going into recession, but the thing that you can't disagree with me about is there's a lot of storm clouds. And there have been for some time, but like I want to remind you, the market right now is negative since last January 2018. Okay, so the sun ain't shining as bright as you think it is. And you've had plenty of warnings. Take some action. Get a second opinion. Make sure that you're going to be okay. Don't hope. Make sure. Take some action. Anyway, we got to run, but we'll be right back. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
One of the biggest mistakes you can make heading into retirement is not planning for the high cost of an extended healthcare situation. A lot of people assume they have enough money saved only to watch everything they've worked hard for get whittled down to nothing from the ongoing costs of a long-term care situation. Don't make this mistake. By putting a long-term care plan in place, you guarantee yourself a source of funds to pay for care when needed, and you also know you won't become a burden on your family. Do what my wife and I did. Go learn all about the new long-term care plans offered by 525 Advisors. These new plans protect your savings, protect your family, and pay your estate back if you never use them. Learn more by attending one of the upcoming classes taught by Brian Ott, who's the host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. Brian has two classes Fest is coming up Friday, September 20th and Saturday the 21st. Seating's limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. Classes are free, and you'll even get a copy of Brian's book. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
We've all heard the term buy low and sell high, and markets have recently hit another all-time high. And that begs the question, is this the top? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Is this the top? No one knows. The truth is, we no longer need to know. By using our risk-managed stock portfolios and Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we can lower your fees, increase your upside, and drastically reduce your risk exposure. This is now the longest bull market in U.S. financial history, and stock valuations have never been higher. So why risk it? Call now to get your free copy of our brand new booklet, Common Sense Investing, and learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement in place where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us, and let's get right into it. As always, nothing new. Went a little over in the market update segment, so we're going to try to rapid fire this. We got three main segments that I want to get through today. One is going to be this first one we talk about, which is fraud. Corporate fraud. Next one is next segment will be what we call Get Out of the Foxhole, talking about how investors are not positioned correctly. And then lastly, we're going to talk about the trade situation in China. So let's jump right into the fraud side of it. One of the things that we've been talking about for a while, there's something that I said, and I don't quote myself out of arrogance, trust me. But you know, every once in a while you have something come out of your mouth where you go, oh, boy, that was, yeah, I like that. Doesn't happen often, but it did, where I said that, and this, I think we were talking about this as much as 2 years ago, really, but I was saying that it was really unique, the market we were in, because we've got a market that we know clearly, again, not gonna pontificate about things that we don't know or that aren't tangible or speculate, but one of the things that we know is we're living in a market and economy that values revenue growth over all else, right? You don't even need to make profits. You don't even need to make money. You show revenue growth, this market will believe that you're going to be able to magically convert it to profit. Now, I've always said I think 90% of those companies won't be able to. And if they do, it will be much less profit than anybody's expecting. And everybody goes, well, that's what everybody said about Amazon. Well, yeah, Amazon's the first. There's one Amazon ever, and it is a very unique business, and there are very few like it. Okay, so for instance, Tesla, an automobile manufacturer, has nothing to do with Amazon. It is a completely different business model. Okay, web security companies, there are similarities because they're a platform company, but there is nothing similar to them. And Amazon. Okay. We could do this all day long. Social media companies, interesting similarities, nothing like Amazon. And to use one company, just conceptualize this for a second. To use one company that happens to be the first, was it the first company ever to reach $1 trillion market cap? You know, probably the most powerful retailer of all time. One of the biggest success stories ever. What do you think the likelihood that there's 100 others like them running around? Think about it in that light. It's the next Amazon. Really? Really? Come on. This is how bubbles happen. This is how people get rocked. Okay, so I don't want to get stuck on that. But to illustrate that, right, we've got this environment where reality doesn't matter. You got, you know, 2 times the amount of debt on your balance sheet as you do revenue and you're bleeding cash, no big deal. You got the revenue growth, right? So you got that aspect. Then you've got ultra low interest rates, which makes stock buybacks more affordable. Yeah, take on more debt, baby. It costs us cheaper than it ever has. Now, what's interesting about that is that the Federal Reserve, now I'm skipping around a little bit, but the Federal Reserve has said repeatedly that debt levels are not the issue. It's debt servicing costs. And a part of that makes sense, right? Like, how can you tell when the end of an economic cycle is upon you? Well, it's when the debt servicing costs, when these corporations that through the bull market have taken a lot of debt onto their balance sheet, and those debt servicing costs reach a certain level of cash flow, right? Where the company is now forced to divert too much profit to pay down debt. Therefore, they can't expand into a new factory. Therefore, they can't hire new employees. And it's just a cycle. And then the downturn, they pay down the debt, they go through some pain, and they clean things up. It's not the end of the world. But the Federal Reserve has always said that, you know, that debt servicing costs are what's more important, and that for the last 5 years, we've seen these huge increases of corporate debt, record levels of corporate debt. But the central bankers of the world said, fear not, because although there's a record level of debt, it's all financed at record low interest rates, and the debt servicing costs aren't anywhere near alarming levels. Well, very interestingly, recently this year, the debt servicing costs on that corporate debt are within 2 or 3 percentages of the peaks that were reached each time in 1999 and 2007. Like I said, another sign, right, that we're exhausting this cycle. Okay, so I don't want to get stuck there, because stick with me. We're focused on fraud. So you've got the record low interest rates, record high debt levels. Nobody cares about profitability. They just care about revenue, blah, 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 right? Interest rates at record low levels, all these different factors. Fed pumping $4 trillion into the market, the tax cuts, you know, the animal spirits coming out. The comment I made was you cannot purposefully design more fertile soil for fraud. I mean, there are so many ways that corporations can manipulate balance sheets to make earnings look better, decrease share count. There are so many ways that they can buy certain things a la Enron in 2001 and make it look like revenue by selling it. And there's all these tricks that can be played. And in this environment that only cares about revenue and has record low interest rates, all of those things are a lot easier. They're a lot easier. The other thing that has troubled me for quite some time is the two different types of accounting. When you file financial statements like 10-Ks, 10-Qs, that kind of stuff, you have to file them and report GAAP, or generally accepted accounting principles, right? It has to be by the letter. But the other one that Wall Street cares no more about now is called adjusted, meaning you take out one-time costs, which is, let's say a company is expected to have $500 million of profit in a quarter, and they come up with $350 million, but they go, hey, guys, the reason that profit was lower this quarter was because we had to spend $150 million revamping this system in our factory. It's a one-time cost. It doesn't mean that the company's going backwards. So, yeah, I mean, we wish we didn't have to pay that cost, but don't worry about it. It's not indicative of the overall health of the company. It's not indicative of how well we're operating, right? These are our adjusted earnings. That's the thing to pay attention to. Well, interestingly enough, the gap between GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles accounting, and adjusted accounting, as far as earnings are related, that the spread between those has never been higher. I am telling you, when you add all these things up, and this downturn finally does happen, you're going to see a lot of fraud. It's going to happen. Or it has happened. And it's, I think, now this is an opinion. This is some speculation on my part. I'm just a big believer in history, right? Meaning that, to me, you know, another analogy I use, you know, the dog gets out and bites somebody, right? A pit bull. I've always said that the crime was not the dog getting out. The crime was not locking the fence, right? Because it's an eventuality. The lack of proactive efforts to stem these issues is the guarantee that they're going to take place. And what I'm saying, and you look at this economy, you look at all those factors we just listed out, if you don't think there's fraud in this economy, A, I hope you're right, but B, I think you're being horrifically naive. And we've been saying that for 2 years. This last week, I think is actually while I was gone, a guy by the name of Harry Markopoulos, if you don't know his story, look him up. There's videos out there that he did. He was blowing the whistle on Bernie Madoff for years, to the SEC and they wouldn't listen to him. He built a mathematical model showing that Bernie Madoff had to be a fraud. He proved it mathematically. Looking at the returns and all this kind of stuff, he proved it. The guy's brilliant. Scary smart guy. He came out recently and he said he thinks there's fraud at GE on the scale of Enron. And one of the things he points to, which I think is really interesting because I know something about it, was he said that they are vastly overstating. Again, I'm still catching up, guys. So go look up the story, read about it. I've read the highlights and read summaries, but I don't know it intimately, so I don't want to give you bad information. But the gist of one of his biggest arguments was GE has a long-term care business. Brian Ott, right? Our guy, by the way, if you're looking for long-term care insurance, talk to Brian Ott at 525 Advisors. He's a good guy. He's an ethical guy, and he knows that business like nobody else. We're licensed to sell it. We still send all of our clients to Brian Ott. He's best in the biz. Anyway, he was saying that they're grossly overstating revenues and all this kind of stuff. The thing I think really is really interesting about that is that that would make total sense. And the reason it would make total sense is because long-term care insurance, most of the companies have exited the business. And they've exited the business because people are living longer and long-term care is costing so much more. It is so much less profitable than they thought it was. And it would be so easy to look at a big book of long-term care insurance, and just stay with me for a second. It would be so easy to look at that and purposefully underestimate the amount of liability or potential outpays you have to make, therefore overestimating the value of that business, right? It'd be so easy to do it. Now, it doesn't mean he's 100% right. I'm not alleging fraud at GE. I don't know enough yet. We'll look into it. Certainly we are. Actually, I was talking to our analyst on the way up here about it. But what I'm saying is it smacks of reality. It smacks of truth because I know for a fact that long-term care business has been a disaster for a lot of carriers. And I'd be surprised if there wasn't at least some fudging of numbers, maybe not out and out fraud. But I think it's very difficult for a company to be carrying a long-term care business, especially one that has been writing policies for a long time. Because remember, long-term care insurance didn't used to be that expensive. But those companies, and GE's been in it for a while, they still have to honor the original terms of those contracts. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. If you look at contracts that were written pre-2010, I wouldn't be surprised if the expense of those contracts is somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 100% more than what they were forecasting, and that might be too conservative. So, and there's more to the story, but I'm telling you that Harry Markopoulos is a serious individual. He is a brilliant guy, and he uncovered years before. I think it was like 2002, 2003. It may even been earlier than that. But he was jumping up and down alleging that Bernie Madoff was running a Ponzi scheme and nobody would listen to him. So he's a serious guy with a lot of credibility. And it's interesting. I've already seen like hit pieces come out like, oh, he's talking. I don't understand that. The guy has never been a self-promoter. He's a serious individual. He's got a lot of credibility. I mean, just think. How many people would have saved an unbelievable amount of pain and money had they just listened to him? Had the SEC done their job and listened to him? And, you know, we've talked about Tesla before. I'm not a forensic accountant. Just something smells bad there. WeWork, this new real estate company coming out. There are so many sketchy financial transactions involving that company that look like they were for the purpose solely of enriching the CEO. Go look at a company like Alibaba in China. Try to explain their corporate structure to me. And here's the thing. Having done this for a while, what I know is we might identify one, two, or three that we think smell bad. When the tide goes out, there's going to be an exponential number of companies more than what we're identifying prehand, you know, beforehand. I look at companies all the time where I'm sitting there Now, again, I'm not alleging they're all fraudulent. What I'm saying, some of them are. And then the other aspect that we're focusing on, again, was that comment about the ground never being so fertile for fraud. And I think it's a real risk out there that people aren't paying enough attention to. And, you know, like I said, guys, I'm not a Chicken Little. We have not sold all of our stocks. We're focusing on value where we can find it because I don't want to own these ridiculously priced companies that all of you probably are way overexposed to. But what I'm saying is, don't let greed and your belief that this is the infinite bull run, do not let it ruin your retirement. Do not make it have you start over at the age of 55 or 60 preparing for retirement. There are easy steps you can take by using our bond replacement, which typically is going to grab 50 to 60% of the upside of the stock market while being insured against loss and having no fees, none. Being insured against loss, bond replacement strategy, not going to make you rich, not a stock, it's not a stock substitute. It's what we're using instead of bonds. You know, we're hoping for our clients to average anywhere between 4.5 on the low side to 6.5 historically. That's kind of where we're at. We've done better over the last 7 years in those products because the indexes have gone up so much. But it's a great bond replacement. If you don't believe me, listen to the interview we did with Dr. Roger Ibbotson. It's on our website. You can go get it. If you really like the Vanguard approach of cheap ETFs, we do too. It's one of the kind of portfolios we use. We use different types of portfolios with different, you know, mechanisms in there. But one of them we use is our exchange-traded fund portfolio. It has no transactional costs, even when things get moved around. And it's got defense built into it. And the main flagship of that portfolio, because it's a portfolio and there's several different iterations of it to make sure we can custom fit it properly to a client. But the main flagship was up in 2008-09 because the defense works so well. It's not a guarantee against loss, but it's a way to stay exposed to stocks so we're not timing the markets, but having a level of defense there so you don't realize a 50% loss. I tell clients all the time, I go, look, We're not using this portfolio because we hope to make money in the next downturn. We're doing it to try to prevent the catastrophic loss. We can deal with a 15 to 20% drawdown. What we cannot deal with, and we can't allow, are 40 and 50% losses. And if you don't think those are possible, then great. Just keep going by those overpriced stocks. If you realize that history does repeat itself, or it doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes, that every cycle comes to an end, but you don't want to time markets, guys, this exchange-traded fund portfolio will show you the 10-year audited results. There's no smoke and mirrors. It's outperformed the S&P by a mile over the last 10 years because it didn't get blown apart in 2008-09. I guarantee you, there's better alternatives out there. You just got to be open-minded. You also got to believe that, you know, we haven't been on the internet or we haven't been on the radio for 3 years because we're selling snake oil. There's a better way to do it. And if that interests you, if you see the storm clouds and you go, Zach, and I don't know if I'm, bring your skepticism. It's fine. You're not going to offend me. I'm just going to show you and show you that exactly what we're telling you is true. I'm not promising you riches. We're just saying, hey, there's an easy way to give you more upside so you make more money if the market goes up, drastically lower your fees, and greatly reduce your risk. That's possible. Why would you not want to? And if that interests you, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm on there daily, you know, and not all the time, but, you know, posting stuff that I think is interesting for our listeners. It's kind of a way for you to follow what we're seeing midweek. But you can follow us at KYR Radio, at KYR Radio on Twitter. But anyway, like I said, and if you don't feel comfortable calling in, if that feels like too affronting to you, you can email us. Just hop on the website, shoot us an email. We can even do a portfolio review over email. Get educated. Anyway, we got to run. We'll be right back. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
the biggest mistakes you can make heading into retirement is not planning for the high costs of an extended healthcare situation. A lot of people assume they have enough money saved only to watch everything they've worked hard for get whittled down to nothing from the ongoing costs of a long-term care situation. Don't make this mistake. By putting a long-term care plan in place, you guarantee yourself a source of funds to pay for care when needed, and you also know you won't become a burden on your family. Do what my wife and I did. Go learn all about the new long-term care plans offered by 525 Advisors. These new plans protect your savings, protect your family, and pay your estate back if you never use them. Learn more by attending one of the upcoming classes taught by Brian Ott, who's the host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. Brian has two classes coming up, Friday, September 20th and Saturday the 21st. Seating's limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. Classes are free, and you'll even get a copy of Brian's book. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
We've all heard the term buy low and sell high, and markets have recently hit another all-time high. And that begs the question, is this the top? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Is this the top? No one knows. The truth is, we no longer need to know. By using our risk-managed stock portfolios and Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we can lower your fees, increase your upside, and drastically reduce your risk exposure. This is now the longest bull market in U.S. financial history, and stock valuations have never been higher. So why risk it? Call now to get your free copy of our brand new booklet, Common Sense Investing, and learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement in place where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. I'm kicking myself. I'm actually going to blame it on you, Darren. We've only got like 7.5 minutes left, so I've got to do some condensing. You know what I need to do? I need to take a lesson from our most famous client, Dory Monson, and have him teach me how to manage time on there. But he's got 3 hours a day. We've only got an hour a week. And when you get, you know, stuff like this going on, man, there's so much to talk about. And I'd love to be able to do a longhand show like, you know, like Joe Rogan, you know. And I'm not saying I think I'm Joe Rogan anyway. We'll keep it moving here. But so we're going to condense. Remember we talked about the foxhole in China. We're going to put it together. Let's deal with the foxhole issue first. I'm kind of a military historian buff, just love it, fascinated with it, grew up in a military family. Dad wasn't in the military, but so many family, uncles, cousins have served, and just something that fascinated me. And there's a saying or a situation in battle, right, where people get scared, you get pinned down, you get stuck in the foxhole, and it seems like the scariest thing in the world to do, but you've got to move, right? Staying there guarantees death, right? But you got to keep moving. The old adage, I don't know where we're going, but we're getting there fast, right? There's so many times in battle where that's the case. Look, we just got to move. We're pinned down. We got to move. Because if we don't move, they'll keep coming in and encroaching on us, right? At least getting out there, it's risky, but it gives us a chance. And I think that that is so prescient for investors today. I see so many investors pinned down, and the biggest reason is they're like, well, there's several other, they're not thinking rationally. There have been several other scares, Zach. And so I look at them and I go, okay, so what you're worried about then is that the market goes up some more and you miss out on it? And what if you don't miss out on it? What if we've got a portfolio where if the market goes up some more, you'll actually get more of it? You're not being rational. Right? The fear of missing out is trumping the fear of loss, but we know statistically that the fear of loss should be a bigger one because losses are more, as a percentage of the portfolio, are more impactful on your long-term returns than squeezing out the next 10 or 15% on the S&P. You're in the foxhole. You need to move. You need to educate yourself about new ways to invest, new ways to protect yourself. One, just being lower in your fees. I run into people all the time. It's shocking to me. $800, $900 million portfolios paying 1.5% or more. to be in a mutual fund portfolio that's got internal fees inside of that. That's insane. Our average client with that size of portfolio is less than 60 basis points. Don't be in the foxhole, guys. Don't be pinned down. And one way to not be pinned down is to reach out to us. Give us a call. We're not going to twist your arm. We're just going to inform you and educate you, hopefully what we do on the show. Anyway, now moving on to China. This China issue isn't going away. And you're going to hear a lot of consternation about it. And I hear a lot of people spinning it back on Trump. Okay, we've talked about this on the show before. But here's another level of mental disconnect that we've currently got going on in the economy. Everybody's like, you know, Trump's tariffs are going to end this cycle, blah, blah, blah. Okay, look, hold on a second. Maybe that is the tipping point. Maybe it is what spins the cycle over. But what is he supposed to do? China's stealing somewhere upwards of $300 billion a year of intellectual property from the United States. And they're tariffing our goods already. And they're subsidizing a lot of their own industries, which compete with us, which is a form of a tariff. What is he supposed to act in good faith and negotiate while they're robbing your house? Do you do that with a robber? Yeah, okay, you could take the nightstand, you could take the lamp and the flat screen TV, but after that, you're going to meet me on the front porch and we're going to talk this out. It's patently absurd. And I hope it doesn't lead to a recession, but guess what? Recessions are part of life. You got to pay to play. Cycles happen. And if this is what tips it over the edge, if this is the straw that breaks the camel's back, then thank God. And look, and I'm not sitting here. I am not a Trump sycophant. I wish he changed his bedside manner. There are things I don't like about him. I'm not saying that. This isn't a political show. There's plenty of those on the radio today. But what I'm saying is if Trump is going to stick to his guns, and I was afraid there for a while, it looked like the last couple of weeks he was going to roll over. But if he does stick to his guns and he's willing to risk an economic downturn to do what's right and prevent the scenario that we've been choking on for the last 25 years, which is China robbing us blind and hauling out our manufacturing sector, which has led to this whole Rust Belt deal and these cities that look like they're in nuclear winter and unprecedented drug abuse because people don't have lives to be proud of and they're not productive members of society because the manufacturing plant's been shipped overseas. And you're going to hurt workers. Workers have been screwed, pardon my language, by this raft of moving manufacturing overseas for 25 years. And you know why you don't hear any angst about it? Because it's made the billionaires more money. And that's the irony right now, what you see going on politically. It's weird. I feel like the right has become more of the blue collar, and I don't agree with everything Trump says. I'm just saying, like, Trump is doing things that benefit wealthy people, but he's also doing more to benefit the working class just on his issues with China than any president has done in the last 25 years, right or left. So don't believe the hype. But that is another risk. That's another big issue. They're the second largest economy in the world. And string it together with all the things we've talked about today, and I'm pounding the table. Guys, wake up. Get out of the foxhole. If you've been listening to this show for 2 years and you still haven't called, do it. And it's not because we're magic or we're the smartest guys in the world. We're just building portfolios differently that you pay less, you get more upside. So if we're wrong, if I end up being a Chicken Little and everything's fine and this is just halfway to the biggest bull market in U.S. history, great. You're going to make more money. You're going to make more money. But if I'm right and these concerns come to pass, which they're big concerns, you're not looking at a 40 or 50% loss. You're not risking your retirement. You're not damaging or impeding or, you know, screwing up your the financial life. You're not going to mess up your plans to help finance grandkids college. There's a safer way to do it where you win either way. If things go down, you lose way less. You stay way more protected. If things go up, you get more upside. It, guys, there's just a better way to do it. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. If you don't want to talk to us on the phone, you can go to the website, email us directly. Anyway, we got to run. Have a great weekend. And as always, we'll see you next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.